We have a lot of videos of the podcast and various other tutorials on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel at mixingmusicpodcast.com/YouTube. Happy mixing and enjoy the show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host DK, and with me as always, thank you so much for OKY Baby Music on Discord submitting this nickname for Lou. Bus Glue Lou. Everybody put your hands together for Bus Glue Lou. Yay! That stopped. With single person, that doesn't sound right. If a single person clapping.
I mean, it could sound right.
Oh my gosh. No, we're done. We're done. I'm cutting this off. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in with the show. I have to say, you know what? I'm happy today. Are you happy today, Lou?
I'm pretty happy, yeah.
Good.
Woke up early and got some work done. How are you?
I'm good. It's a happy day. Recently, I've been doing a lot better with my mental health, and I have this huge problem where I don't let myself be happy, and recently, I've been letting myself be happy, so it's been good. I've been spending a lot of time with family, so anyway, we're going to move on from my life. How are you, Lou? Why are you happy, huh?
I guess you could say I guess you could say back onto the mental health thing, which is a big thing for us in audio, right? Like we tend to forget that we need to take time for ourselves. Yesterday and the day before and the day before, I found myself playing video games, which is something I usually don't let myself do because I feel like I'm being lazy. I feel like I need to do more. But I just finished Doom Eternal. And I've just been working on all the, like, unlockables and everything. And it just felt good to really sit on the couch for once and just give myself time off. Like, not, I have to go do this on my day off or I have to go do that. It's just like, no, just take a breather. Have some grapes. Drink some water. Play some video games. So I feel kind of coming, like, I'm coming back refreshed.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like, taking the time, take breaks, coming back refreshed is really important. This is actually this is not what we were going to talk about today, but I do think that in today's society, we see too often of people, and I did this too, I did this, we all do this and have done this, kind of glorifying overworking.
Yeah.
Yeah, saying, like, so I think that it's absolutely important. Having enough experience now, I think that one of the best advice that we can give you is to, you know, be really passionate, stay focused, put in those hours, get work done. If it needs to get done, get it done at the same time.
Don't take on projects that you don't honestly feel passionate about. Like, I see so many of us that think we have to work every single late night in order to make a career in this. But I'll be honest, if your goal is not, like for me, I don't really care about owning a mansion. If I get a mansion, that's amazing. I just want to buy a house and I'll work hard for that house. But that doesn't mean I have to work all night, every night, lose all my weekends for it. You know, DK and I have talked about this. I know Bob has touched on it in the past with us, which is, you know, setting boundaries. Like, if you feel like you're being overworked and it's things you don't really enjoy, that's going to drain you a lot faster than just working late nights. You know, so set some boundaries for yourself, you know, enjoy yourself a little more in what you're doing.
You know, I think we're too far gone into this topic. We were going to do a different topic about EQ, but we're going to save that for next week. Let's go deeper into this topic because I think this is a very, very important topic that I think is we're seeing a lot more content be made about it, a lot more progress be made, but I think that there's still a lot more progress to be made. I think this is the unfortunate thing of creative. So typically speaking, patterns of the pattern of the extrovert, which is most artists, right? So it's harder to be an artist if you're not an extrovert, or at least acting the role, you know, playing the role.
I'll raise my hand on that one. I'm an introvert for sure.
So like this is a classic thing, like you'll hear someone say an introvert wakes up energized and by the time they go to the bed they're exhausted. An extrovert will wake up exhausted and by the time it's time to go to bed they'll be energized, right? So I think that there's something about like many people, at least 50% of people on average, have a hard time going to bed or wanting to go to bed. They feel more productive at night and all that jazz. So, and this is also tied to creativity as well. Like creativity tends to be a little bit more studied to show activity at night. And, unfortunately, you'll see this a lot in the music industry. And then obviously you'll see a lot of people, for example, Eminem is famous for working 9 to 5 and that's it, right? He'll drop the session in the middle of the session if it hits 5 and go spend time with his family. So, which is really, but in the music industry, you'll see a lot of late night stuff. Yeah. You'll see a lot of late night stuff. You'll see a lot of like people overworking. We won't say names, but there are studios around here that underpay and overwork. And
Oh, yeah, by a long shot.
And the unfair thing about all this is that that's a valid thing. Like, people are willing to overwork and be underpaid. And there's a balance here because part of me is saying, if you're trying to make it in this industry, you should be willing to do that. The other part of me is saying that that is extremely unethical and nobody should ever support a business that allows that.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that people are willing to do that that allows businesses to take advantage of that.
Now, there is the idea that if you're not in the room, you're not going to get these opportunities. If you're not down to be part of the sessions when it's prime time, this and that, that you won't find these opportunities. You know, it's funny. Not too long ago, I got my first plaque in 10 years. Of doing this, which sounds like a long time, but what's funny is I was in those late night sessions with huge names. I won't even say the names, but like, you know, everybody I've worked with, I've told you all the stories. None of those sessions gave me a plaque, but yet the session I recorded at 2 in the afternoon got me a plaque. I'm just saying, like, if I had to say what the ratio was, it's like 1 in 5,000. You know, sessions that got me that award. But it was a daytime one. You know, she was trying to set schedules for herself and all that. She was trying to be more responsible with her time. The opportunity did not require me to be there late at night. And all the late night sessions didn't really amount to much except for a paycheck.
So there's a thought that we've been throwing around that came from Bob Horn. I don't know if I mentioned this on a previous episode. I don't think so.
I know we've mentioned it together, but I don't think
just
on the
off
show.
Mic.
Yeah.
So one of the things that Bob mentioned to me in person, Bob Horn, he mentioned to me, he said, well, recently he had some, in October he had, you know, some health issues which caused him to have to go. He's pescatarian and he's working out and he's taking care of his body. He's not drinking soda. He's trying to be a lot healthier because he wants to keep working, right, obviously. And he said, in the last 20 years of my career, I have been known to be the guy that has been extremely accessible. If someone texts me at 3 a.m. in the morning, I'm going to go back to the studio and bounce whatever they need. I am, and for a lack, like, to be honest, like, the most respectfully saying, he said, the most respectful way, he said, I bent over backwards for 20 years and did whatever people ask, whenever people ask, for the, because of FOMO, because he didn't want to miss any opportunities, because he wanted to look good with all of his clients, and it did help. But he said, in those 20 years, looking back at the opportunities that I got from it and from doing that, and also now where I have to create boundaries, he says that it has not been worth it to bend over backwards for 20 years. And he's got a Grammy, he's got a bunch of different plaques, a bunch of billboards and billboard number ones and stuff. So like the dude is doing really well, but he says that he wishes since the beginning of his career, he always had boundaries and he never overworked himself or like did something that he didn't want to do. Like he says that it didn't pay off, which is incredible to me because at the same time, I'm trying to think of a time where I bent over backwards for someone and it paid off. And there was a couple really cool sessions that I had because it was late at night. Maybe it's the pattern of the people that are very serious, treat the art very serious,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't know what it is, but at least off the top of my mind, I'm in the same, but like recently in the past year, I've really heavily created boundaries and I have increased my income.
Yeah, I'd actually have to agree with that because, you know me, since we met, I was very Minuteman-like. You know, at the drop of a dime, I'd go. Now, since we started talking more, I started creating more boundaries, you know, that I stopped doing my late-night sessions. I used to do a late night almost every other night when we first opened the studio together. Once the engineers started coming in, I still was kind of holding on to some of those sessions. But then I started getting tired. I started feeling really exhausted. And it felt really good to actually start letting some of those sessions go. And ever since I started realizing how good that was for me, I started setting that boundary into place after we started talking more about that. And I've actually noticed people will actually reach out to me more because I've become less available. Though the people that were booking me a lot when I was more available were interested in booking me all the time, it was always at night when nobody was available. Now that they see me more available during the day, they're like, hey, how about I catch you during the day? How about we end the session at 10? How about we end the session at 11? Their version of a late night with me nowadays doesn't go past midnight. Which is amazing.
That's my cutoff. I do not do anything past midnight.
Exactly. And it's actually helped me out with my personal life. Mike, my fiance has noticed that Sundays have just become like our day. Like we'll hang out on Saturdays, but if I have to go to the studio, you know, she'll come with me. And as long as she can come with me, she's cool with it. But Sundays, I had to do a master yesterday. And it was not as important as spending time. And just having the day off, you know.
I think there's this is.
I'll do it later today.
Yeah, there you go. This is this goes into a point that so I'm one of the owners of this white glove marketing firm for podcasts in based out of Salt Lake City, and the CEO. I'm one of three owners, and the CEO, who's not me, right? The CEO was very adamant about this with all of the other. You know, owners and the employees, extremely strong about this because we were a marketing firm and we helped with podcasts with these large companies. For example, the United Nations was one of our clients at one point. And I think, I don't know if they still are, but, they were at one point. And, it was, we do a lot of like heavy lifting market people. These companies are putting substantial amount of money into our company, into our services. And when this happened, oftentimes, something would go awry or they think something would go awry and they would email and call and be really stressed out. Like what's going on? Most of the time it was their misunderstanding, obviously, cause we kind of have a system going. We weren't bad at what we did to say the least. The CEO, every meeting, every time continued to reinforce if a client calls you or emails you after hours during the week or on a weekend, you are not allowed to respond or call them back. You are not allowed to. And he made it very clear that the things that these clients claim as emergency are not emergencies if you give them 24 hours. Like they're not so much of an emergency that anybody has to come back to the office to get it done.
Yeah.
And we never lost a client over that, over the fact that we couldn't, like if they had an issue Friday night, like sucks. Come back Monday morning. And this proves our point where like you've called the DMV before or the post office or
yeah,
something
absolutely.
Where they're not open on the weekends. And you're like, oh, crap, that's right. It's Friday evening and they're not going to be open for the next few days.
You don't really fuss about it because you already know
maybe
that.
For like 30 seconds, you're like, oh, that's so annoying. And then you call Monday morning.
And the funny thing is, you say it's so annoying. Like I gotta update my passport. It expired. The most annoying part about it is that I had to go to the post office with an appointment. The most amazing thing of it is that, unlike the DMV, that appointment will not require me to sit there for 2-3 hours just waiting for a ticket. Now, that's annoying. So I really don't mind the weekends off as long as I can actually say, hey, can I set an appointment? Which is why I really like Bob's method of setting scheduled mixes. Yeah. Like, instead of having just a deadline, he's like, we're going to mix it on this day. This is when I can take care of it. Does that work for you?
He kind of like, he says he does the one mix a day type thing. And I did that. Yeah. I do that a little bit as well. Like a combination of to-dos. So I think the one thing that I want to recognize, and I think we're neglecting a little bit here, is the idea that this idea of taking breaks and being picky and setting up boundaries, some people that are listening right now might say that it doesn't really, you know, work for their world because they're open. Some people are open all day and are struggling to find clients.
Well,
and it is true that what we're talking about is coming from the perspective of constantly busy professionals, right?
I could see that, yeah.
So in the sense, I still think that it's important for non-professionals, for hobbyists or trying to be professionals, to set up boundaries from the beginning, because you're going to eventually, if you keep working at it, you're eventually going to find clients anyway. But as Jordan Peterson says in his book, you never want to raise a child, or in this case, your company, right? You never want to raise a child that you end up hating.
Yeah.
So if you, from the beginning, are accepting clients that you do not like, and you build this business, you get more and more clients, this word of mouth spreads, and all of a sudden you're making a lot
more
money.
But it's word of mouth from the clients you don't like, which is bringing more clients that you don't like.
So exactly. Like, if you really like country music, and you keep saying yes to hip-hop artists because you need the money, it might be good as a Band-Aid, a temporary Band-Aid.
Yeah.
That's not going to be good for your mental health.
If you're trying to market yourself as a country producer and all you're recording is trap music, what marketing material do you have that's actually going to build leverage in the future anyways?
Yeah, so...
like, you have a paycheck to show. You show that you have this, but maybe you could work with Nelly?
Yeah, it's like same... This boundaries thing is very important...
for
from
progression.
All levels.
But I totally get where the confusion may exist, where the idea of setting boundaries even early on may cause an issue with growing as a business. But I don't see it that way necessarily, because let's say we were just saying this, like, if you're trying to do country, right? Starting out, one of my biggest issues was that I wanted to work on R&B and things of that nature. So when rappers would hit me up, I didn't really have rap references. And it didn't really bother me that I didn't have rap references, because I didn't really want to work on rap as much as I wanted to work on R&B. But when R&B artists hit me up, I had a catalog of R&B that I had available. So if you're trying to go down country, but you're accepting every single gig, you're taking every late night... But you know that, like, I'll be honest, like, I know a lot more country cats that record in the morning.
For hip-hop artists.
Yeah. But I know more country artists that like to work in the morning, afternoon. You know, I know some that won't work past 8.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that about all of them, but
I put my
usually,
kids to bed at 7.
Yeah, exactly. Night. So it's like, you know, realistically speaking, like, I actually really appreciate my daytime clients. And if you're trying to have daytime clients, if you're trying to work with a genre that primarily works throughout the day, taking on the late night sessions is going to make you groggy, foggy headed, unprepared, no matter how much you prepare the next night, because you didn't get a good night's sleep. If anything, did you get any sleep? Because I'll be honest, I've taken on sessions I didn't want to be a part of that were 13, 14, 15, 16 hours long. And regretted it right after. Like, and I've always told people, I don't really care about how much I make necessarily. I just don't want to regret the money.
Let's talk about sleep in a second, because I think that that's a very important last topic to touch up on. But real briefly, I wanted to kind of go back into the balance of setting up boundaries and being willing to say no, and the balance of being willing to do what you can, right? Being willing to do anything. And I think that this is a huge, heavy balance here. The one thing that I want to be absolutely clear on is, as we already discussed, if you're doing things that make you unhappy from the beginning, it's not going to make you happier later. So saying no to and the biggest thing that I think people have an issue with, especially when – okay, I'm going to – like, let me backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
If you're hungry for money, you're broke, you have reason to do – and this is actually a good reason why it's good to have a day job or a part-time job that supports your rent. Because if you have a sufficient way to make money outside of music, then you have a lot more bravery. You're able to take on, you're able to be a lot more choosy with who you work with. This is one of the great facts, where if you're hungry and you're hungry for money and you're like, I'm willing to do anything, you're going to constantly find yourself in a vicious cycle of being willing to take on products you don't want to for the sake of money. And in my experience, if you do anything, even outside of music, for money and not for any other worthwhile, because I like to do it or because I can create jobs or because I can blah, 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 for anything outside of money, if you do not have a reason, it will not make you happy. It will make you miserable.
And then you will drop out of what you originally sought out to do only because you didn't set boundaries.
Yeah, so I think that like it's important to say that you should set boundaries and you should take on what you can. But you cannot have FOMO. Like, you cannot have the fear of missing out. You have to be willing to be okay with you saying no to someone or someone saying no to you. You must be okay with someone on Facebook in a group saying, yo, like, they recommend another studio over yours. They didn't talk bad on your studio, but they just said, hey, you got hip-hop stuff, you should go to this studio. They're the best in the area. You see that, you cannot get jealous.
Like, absolutely.
Like, you have to be open-minded and realize that you're looking for clients that are probably going to come to you. You're not trying to convert clients. We were talking about this with marketing today.
Yeah.
Not today. Maybe it was last week.
It was the other day.
Yeah, it was the other day where, like, marketing. So someone, the marketing guy at that podcast company, he's one of the marketing guys, the specialist. He said to me, like, marketing is the art of competing not on price.
Yep.
So instead of, like, continuing to, like, go down on price, but to give them more value. And you talk about this too, giving them so much value that you can give them something that costs us less, but charge them more, right? So that's what marketing is. And kind of like Louis Vuitton, it doesn't cost them that much more to make the same fabric.
What was that Gap Yeezy sweater that recently came out?
Yeah, the Gap Yeezy sweater.
So realistically, that is perceived value right there. What are people willing to pay to have one of those?
Well, his sweaters are also like super heavy. His sweaters are like solid 20
They're
pounds.
Pretty stupid, in my opinion. I'll be honest. Like, $90 for a sweater? Okay, I get it. But $1,500?
Oh, it was $1,500
for a sweater? It's now selling for $1,500
online.
Oh, it's
now. Online. Okay, post.
But that's what I'm saying. See, resell. I would pay $90 for a sweater, but it looks like a plain sweater. I can go to the local...
But it's a heavy sweater.
Anyway, whatever the weight is. I'm a fat guy, so I get heavy and warm really
sweater.
Fast.
I like easy sweaters, actually. But
that's
level.
The perceived value thing. Like, if you were to build up the value like Kanye did behind his name and his brand and everything... People are willing to pay the $1,500, while people like me who don't really see the value in it are not really paying for it. So if you're trying to do country all day long and they don't see value in you because they are looking for hip hop, that's not an issue. That is not your client. Yeah. That is not who you're trying to market to.
So backing track to like the mental health, if this was an episode about business, then I would say you have to pay super strong attention to the marketplace and see what people are charging in your area for what kind of work, and you have to relatively compete. But because this is the mental health episode, I would also say it's very important to rationalize. You can charge whatever the heck you want, regardless of what's around you. And it is more important to maintain your mental health. For example, if you are not able to take on projects for, let's say, $200, like if you had $200, you'd be happy. Even if they asked for 100 revisions, you'd be like, okay, it's worth it because they paid me a decent amount. Maybe not $200, you know, but like, you know, they're regular high maintenance kind of clientele. Mm-hmm. Did you charge enough? Because at the end of the day, that's what's important. I think.
Are you going to regret the money or are you satisfied?
Exactly. So I think it's better to lose clients that are not willing to pay your price. And here's one better. You know what I've recently started been doing? And I think a lot of people can do this too, is to kind of take the managerial route. And I have a lot of people that hit me up and ask for quotes that can't quite afford me, right? And they can't quite afford my price. So I say, hey, I have assistants and interns that work for me that are willing to work with your budget. And then I take a 20% cut for what I charge them. I invoice them and I collect the money from them. And then once they send me the money, then I assign it to one of my assistants, one of the interns. And so, that's a way that I could put money into the intern's pockets, the assistant's pockets, as well as, like, I still am the one that was the one-stop shop. I personally wasn't able to do it, but I was able to provide value, and I made some money from passively without doing the work. So there's ways around it, right? The last thing that I want to talk about real briefly is sleep and the importance of sleep. Lou.
Yep.
You are actually a little bit more in control of your emotions than most other people, but you've seen me many nights where I am very low on sleep. And what I become?
Easily agitated and easily, I want to say distracted, but you could be like, DK, DK, huh?
There's
you good? What's going on? What are we talking about?
I'm a lot more angry when I'm very tired.
Yeah. Like, so that's why, like, you either get agitated or distracted.
Yeah, so I don't think we need to say much about the importance of sleep because everybody knows it. I think the one thing that I want to say is that it takes discipline to put down your phone, to stop working, to not look at your emails, to not respond to clients, and to go to bed.
Oh, yeah.
This is an interesting thing. In his clinical... This is I had a whole Jordan Peterson phase, mostly for psychology stuff. In fact, not at all for his political stuff.
So I'm on a Jordan Peele phase.
Jordan Peele. So Jordan Peterson said that in his clinical studies, he's seen two things specifically that have helped people come out of depression. Two things specifically. One is eating a protein and carb-rich breakfast. Bacon and eggs, protein and fat. So bacon and eggs is a really good way. Hard-boiled eggs, something that is very heavy in protein in the breakfast because you've been fasting all night and your body needs to recuperate, right? So the second thing is, this is interesting, waking up at the same time every morning. So, and he says something about, you know, at an appropriate time when everybody else wakes up. So sometime between 6 and 9, you know? I think he said 7:30, 8:30 is like appropriate times. It doesn't have to be super early, but waking up at the same time every day, your body finds a lot more comfort and your mind finds comfort in the morning routines and waking up at the same time every day. So he didn't say sleep, actually. That was not one of the top two.
Just waking up at
but
the same
he did
time.
Say when he talked about waking up in the morning every day, he said that the importance of having the discipline to put your phone down and going to bed. You don't want to ever, he said, the worst thing that you can do is adjust your wake-up time for late nights. It is better to adjust what time you go to bed. Substantially better. And this actually can, like, help people come out of depression. Instead of moving what time you wake up in the morning, move what time you go to bed. And having the discipline to do so. And there, unfortunately, in my experience, sleep is a discipline thing. Especially when everything in the world is trying to distract us. Everything in the world is trying to distract us.
Oh my God, me and social media. I am so glad Instagram doesn't work today.
Yeah, today's the day where Facebook and Instagram is dead and it's great. You know what I do a lot, and I recommend this for everybody as
cocaine?
Is reading, like reading at night.
Not cocaine.
Put the screen down. I put on jazz in my AirPods, like some boring jazz. So, or like, I know, like binaural beats or like lo fi beats or like baroque music. It has to be boring music without vocals. So, this is actually another study, a psychological study. Mm-hmm. They did a test, and the way that they did the test is there was like flashing pictures or numbers or shapes or something like that. And they asked participants to sit there for an hour and tap the button that it correlates. And you know how when you read a lines in a book and then your eyes are moving but your brain just stops reading and then you have to go back?
Yeah.
So they were testing that but through this machine. So if you missed it, if you were watching the screen but you totally zoned out and you just didn't hit the button, you didn't recognize, because this is an hour-long boring-ass test, right? They found that you miss a lot more when you're not listening to music, and when you listen to baroque music with simple like mellow jazz with lo-fi, binaural, these like simple things that are not distracting. It can't be too enticing. The music cannot be too engaging. It cannot have singing. But if it's pretty bland, normal background music, you are much less likely to skip and you're much more likely to stay focused for longer periods of time, which is really interesting. So I turn on jazz. There's a Spotify playlist called Jazz for Study. And I put that on. I read a book, so there's no blue light coming into me. I have a night light, which is yellow light, and I put it on a really low setting, just enough where it doesn't strain my eyes to read, and I read on paper. And then I read until I'm ready to go to bed. Like, which, to be honest, depending on what you're... If you read the Old Testament, that is in 30 seconds. You are out in 30 seconds. That is the ultimate melatonin, the Old Testament. Oh my gosh, that'll put you to bed.
So what I've done, and this is not a shot at Pokemon or their games or anything, but there's a game called Pokemon Masters EX on iPhone and Android or whatever. But it's like a turn-based game, just like Pokemon is. Turn-based games are really boring if you're not really that into it. And I've played that game so much that, like, I'm kind of in a stage where, like, I just get done what I need to get done and then I'm out. So when I play it at night, it puts me to sleep. And it's really the weirdest thing ever, because usually screens don't put me to sleep. Video games don't put me to sleep. TV doesn't put me to sleep. It keeps me up. This game is so boring, it puts me to sleep. And so I wonder if that's my jazz.
Yeah, there you go. And so I will say that I officially cannot endorse looking at screens, but that being said, like, do whatever it can to, if that's what it takes, if you have the habit of doing that, if that's what it takes to get to bed, do it. Boring whatever Pokemon. It is, go to bed. And the last thing is, this is coming from one of my friend's therapist who said this to him. My friend, and I think many musicians and many people listening to this podcast will be struggling with this, is they have some sort of insomnia, or they have a hard time, like, not being able to let go of screens. They just keep staying up late. Next thing you know, you're waking up at 3 a.m. every day, 3 p.m. every day. You're now waking up at 3 p.m. Your sleep schedule is effed. You know, and it's to the point now where you're unhappy. It's making you depressed because it's so unregulated. This is coming from one of my friend's therapists. The therapist recommended him to skip a day. Just skip. So if you wake up at 3 or 6 p.m. or in the evening, don't go to bed at night. Don't even try. Then skip the day and go to bed at like 9 p.m. So be exhausted at 9 p.m. and then wake up.
So what's worked for me, because I hear out the exhaustion factor in that. So if anybody here listening is overweight like I am, it's a good idea for you to probably just go to the gym for a little bit. And I kid you not, when I was going to the gym every day in the evening, because Anna goes at like 8 o'clock, comes home around like 10
we
o'clock, and she's
sometime.
Ready. Yeah.
I still have that 24-hour pass.
Dude, I love it because it actually puts me to sleep. Like, a little bit of exercise goes a long way, because your body is so exhausted that it doesn't matter if you're looking at a screen or not. Your body wants to calm down and go to sleep.
Some of the best.
So it helps a lot.
Some of the best sleep I get is Wednesday night after basketball.
Nice.
That's like, I sweaty, but get right.
Like, your body's just like, okay, I'm done being active.
Or Sundays after the beach, after you've been playing at the beach all day. Yeah. Oh my, that's amazing. Yeah, which is great, because we live in California, and I can say that that's a casual activity. That, like, going to the beach as a casual activity is not
that's
normal.
That's not a Utah or Chicago kind of thing. Actually, all right, hypothetically speaking, what would be a casual, almost equivalent for Utah and Chicago? Skateboarding for Chicago?
Going to hike.
Go on a hike, gotcha.
In Utah.
Utah's got really, really good hiking locations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's hiking spots everywhere. In Chicago, what would it be? Going on a bike ride? I don't know.
Coffee shop.
Walk to the coffee shop. Yeah. Anyway, but I think that that's important too. The most important thing, the most important take out of all this is that there are some blanket statements and these general guidances that people have given that are studied, that are learned, that have been studying this thing. This is not out of our mouths and our own personal experience. This is actually psychological data. There's data to back up this stuff, evidence to back it up. But that being said, everybody's body and minds are totally different.
Oh, yeah.
I am not the serial killer that this other dude was.
Wait, you know, what dude?
No, just kidding.
Holy, whoa.
No, I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people's minds are very different, you know? And some people's bodies are equally very different, right? And for some people, my sister doesn't like milk chocolate and she only likes white chocolate, which is disturbing to me, okay? That is like... I was raised by humans, and she was not. So she's a serial killer. Anyway, just I'm teasing. But
I hope you're listening.
Like people are humans are different. Some people are lactose intolerant. Some people are not. Some people have diabetes and some people don't. Like whatever.
Some people just get a little farty.
Yeah. Some people like whatever it is. Right. So what you need to do with your sleep, how much sleep you get, is a lifelong experiment. You need to figure out what works for you. Test it out. Wake up at different times during the day. Go to bed for different amounts consistently. Try it out. Focus and make a study out of your sleep so you can figure out what's the best for you. And I personally have found, like you said, if I exercise, I can sleep less and be much more awake. Usually, it's meant to be the opposite. Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to sleep less, but even if I do,
you
I
feel
can
like
stay
you
a
got
lot more
quality
alert during
rest.
The day. I don't need caffeine. I've noticed that if I take too much caffeine, if I take caffeine for more than 2 or 3 days in a row, it really Fs up my alertness during the day. So if I take it once, it's great. I'm really focused. But if I take it every day, it makes me miserable. Like it makes it harder to focus. I can become addicted to the caffeine. I can't do it. There's many things that I figured out within my own body, right? I have to sleep a minimum of 7 to 8 hours. I cannot do anything less. Like, or else it really starts to affect the people around me. It makes people around me less happy because I'm agitated and I get less work done. I've also noticed that I really only have 3 to 4 hours of creative energy in a day. Like truly, like the yeah. essence of my creative energy is only 3 to 4 hours. Things like this, like it is important for anybody listening right now for your mental health to pay attention to your body.
Pay attention to your needs, like set the boundaries that you need to set so that you can actually, you know, one, flourish in the industry that you're in, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be music, but without these things, like without actually giving yourself time to sleep, without giving yourself time to rest on days off, without giving yourself a cutoff at what point your clients are able to reach out to you, you're going to become exhausted. You're going to have those days where me and DK, like we said, today we're happy. We're coming back. We're energized. But this doesn't really happen without setting boundaries. I could have probably worked a 12-hour last night just because it's like, oh, somebody called me. I have to go. But you know what? Sunday's my day off. I didn't feel like mastering that song because I need to give myself some time. And with that, I come back refreshed and happy. We want you to be happy doing what you do.
Absolutely. And I think I think Jordan Peterson is fresh on my mind because I just barely finished his book, 12 Rules for Life. An Antidote for Chaos. It was a really good book. It just took me forever. It took me like a solid like 2 to 3 months just to finish it. Granted, I was reading other books during it too, but it was a pretty heavy book. And there's a lot of really thrilling and cool concepts. And one of them was talking about this study that was done that shows that when given prescribed medication for their dog versus when someone is prescribed medication by a doctor for them, humans are naturally like substantially are likely to follow up and give prescribed dosages to their dog than to themselves.
As a previous dog owner, I can attest to that
so
100%.
Humans are naturally more like have a hard time evaluating, like perceiving value in taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
They see this is the human predicament, right? They see the problems and troubles and it's so easy to fix in somebody else, but they have a hard time seeing it in themselves. So don't be that person. It is absolutely important to pay attention to your body. And just like you take care, I know you're sitting right here, Kevin, and you're listening to this podcast and you're struggling a lot because you care more about other people than you do for yourself.
We love you,
or
Kevin.
You, Sarah, or for you, John, or whoever a random person is listening to this.
I love you, random person listening to this.
Yeah, and you care too much about other people. You're sacrificing, sometimes you sacrifice a little bit too much at the expense of your own happiness. And I'm here to tell you right now, although that is good, but you cannot make other people's happy if you're not happy yourself, and you need to take care of yourself. You need to, whatever the prescription is that you've given yourself or that the doctor has given you, you have to take care of yourself. Even though it's tempting and easier to take care of someone else, you must take care of yourself. And I think that's a good place to end it.
I think so.
Really quickly, we want to bring up our sponsor for the podcast. We really, really love them. And we're really proud to be working with them. Thank you so much for sponsoring the show, Isotope. Isotope is mixing, mastering, production, dialogue editing, all that software for audio and audio tools, and they are absolutely amazing. Love them. Lou and I use them for every mix and master. Lou has been doing a lot of mastering recently and is kind of transitioning into a mastering engineer. And Isotope has been amazing for both of us. So if you would like 10% off of your next Isotope purchase or a free trial to their monthly bundle subscriptions, which is all of their plugins, which is what I have, right? I think we both have that, actually.
Oh, yeah.
It is isotope.com/MMPodcast. One more time, that's isotope.com/MMPodcast to claim that. So on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
Is episodes once a week not enough for you, or are you looking for more technical information from the Mixing Music Podcast? Well, guess what? Now you can. You can subscribe to our exclusive content and triple the amount of episodes that you get access to. That's right. Instead of the free once a week episodes, you get 3 episodes a week for only $4 a month or $40 a year. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get access to those episodes now.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.